do the tough things first.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. Zinn covers the gamut from the essence of human happiness.
Having value is key to human happiness.
To the downside of venture capital for entrepreneurs.
Venture capital can be the antithesis of entrepreneurial spirit.
The essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
An entrepreneur without determination is truly an oxymoron.
Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Any HR person will tell you that happy employees are productive employees, and they are employees that stay with the company a long time. Given this, you would think that you should be able to measure employee happiness and thus create workplace longevity. Well, that's precisely what Ray Zinn, the longest-serving CEO in Silicon Valley, did. I was reminded of a blog Ray published a while ago on his employee happiness quotient. You can find Ray's blog at the toughthingsfirst.com website. Given that Ray had the lowest employee turnover rate in the semiconductor industry and the highest rate of boomerang employees, those who left and then came back, this employee happiness quotient is pretty important to every business leader. So, Ray, let's set the stage here. In the intro montage to this podcast, you're heard stating that the essence of human happiness is readily identifiable. Retell that. What is the essence of human happiness, and why is it truly the center of being a happy human being?
Every employee wants to feel they contribute, that they have value, that their substance of their effort is accomplishing something. They don't want to feel that it's a waste of time or that they're not really contributing to the overall vision and benefit of the company.
Well, I would suspect that this applies in life outside the workplace too. If you feel that you have a sense of value to your family or your community, that it gives you that same feeling.
Exactly. It applies in every aspect of our life. We want to feel that we have value, that we're contributing. Once you feel worthless, that you don't have anything to contribute, then you lose the purpose of life. Why are we here? And so it's important that we all feel needed.
All right. Well, since this is the center of human happiness, how does a company or even an individual supervisor deplete or depress an employee's sense of value? What are the kind of dumb things that supervisors do in this regard?
By criticizing them, by making them feel that they're not contributing, by looking over their shoulders, micromanaging, by not showing interest in them as individuals. Those are the things that are the negative part, that the dumb things we do is just assuming that because they got a paycheck, that should make them happy.
Let's get back to the quotient then, because this, you know, being a numbers guy, this I found very interesting. In your employee happiness quotient, you listed four elements that actually can be measured. Recognition that employees get, supervisors themselves, the work itself, and the company. So let's dive straight into those, starting with supervisors. How do you measure supervisors' contribution to the employee happiness quotient?
Most employees, when they leave a company, leave because they don't like their supervisor. So it's important that the supervisor is well-liked by his people. To do this, of course, they have to be kind, generous, considerate, fair, and that's how you determine the effect or the value of a supervisor, is how well the employee receives that supervisor and accepts them.
And what about the recognition itself? You mentioned, you know, that there should be praise more than criticism. But how do you measure recognition without getting into overbearing review cycles?
Because recognition is where the employee feels the support of the supervisor. And if the supervisor is well liked by the employee, the supervisor recognizes the value of the employee and praises them for that, and has a way of showing that praise through either a bonus program or some other way of showing praise and acceptance of the employee's value.
So at an individual employee level, how about the work itself? How do you gauge whether somebody is really continually turned on by the work that they do?
They finish the project on time. they're not watching the clock. They're not worrying about their soccer game or other things that are pressing in their family. They actually love what they do and do what they love. They will follow up on projects. They will complete them on time. And that's the bottom line, is how closely does the employee meet their commitments on schedule.
What about the company as a whole? How do you measure an entire organization to make sure that they are contributing to the employee happiness quotient?
There are fewer silos. In other words, intra-departmental relationships are high. Projects are more often completed on time than not. The customers recognize when the relationships are good within the company because the employees speak highly of the company to their customers and to other employees that are potential employees that are looking for a job. You can tell by just how the outside community looks at your company, as they call it, you know, the HP way, as you would. And so if you're considered a good place to work, then that your employees are more likely to stay with your company.
Well, you said something interesting there about silos, and we've had this discussion before about how silos can become barriers to cross-communication. Does the flattening of the organization, and in regard to that, kind of the reduction of the power of the silos, does that contribute to tearing down these walls? Does keeping a flatter organization disable the silos and thus improve employee happiness?
Exactly. So the flatter the organization, the less penetration you have to have from top to bottom. And flat organizations are better than deep organizations. And so it's important that you minimize the conflict between departments, because they naturally want to protect each other. It's that old feather bedding idea, you know, where one tries to protect their job and that forms these silos. So by getting these groups together and having them work together in these cross-pollinating teams helps strengthen the intra-departmental relationships.
So in your original blog, you had suggested taking those four elements, the work itself, the recognition, the company as a whole, and supervisors, and ranking them on a 1 to 10 scale so that in total you would have a 40-point range. At what score should a CEO worry that employees are ready to walk? How low down that 40-point scale does an employee sink before they're ready to start brushing up their resume?
I'd say it's in the mid to high 20s.
Interesting. So if you, the listener, are unhappy in your job, think about these four elements and see which one is bothersome to you. You may be able to fix it by bringing the issues to the attention of your boss, providing that your boss isn't the problem himself. And if you're a leader in an organization, start scoring these elements and have your team score them as well. You might find ways to improve their happiness and thus improve the performance of your group. And to consistently improve your performance, subscribe to this podcast at iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, and through popular podcast apps. And also subscribe to Raise In's blog at toughthingsfirst.com.